Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation on our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The longest list of clothing and accessories in all of Scripture is from the book of Isaiah, an amazing book that's sometimes referred to as the fifth gospel for its powerful teaching on the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's arguable that the most powerful descriptions of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ aren't even in the New Testament, but in the book of Isaiah. The descriptions of the clothing and the accessories are not a random thing, but they depict real evidence of what was going on among God's people in the kingdom of Judah, in which was the city of David, the holy city of Jerusalem. Judah is that same city, in which includes Bethlehem, where of course Jesus was born. Now the clothing and the accessories demonstrate Judah's affluence. And unfortunately, it also demonstrates the idolatry and the growing indifference to the Word of God. Here's a sample of what's described here in God's Word in Isaiah. You can learn a lot about a person, and for that matter, a culture, by the way one dresses, or how the many people in a culture dress. From the Word of the Lord, Isaiah 3, beginning at verse 16. The Lord said, "Because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks, glancing wantonly with their eyes, mincing along as they go, tinkling with their feet, therefore the Lord will strike with a scab the heads of the daughters of Zion. The Lord will lay bare their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the finery of the anklets, the headbands, the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets, and the scarves, the headdresses, the armlets and sashes, the perfume boxes and the amulets, the signet rings and the nose rings, the festal robes, the mantles, the cloaks and the handbags, the mirrors, the linen garments, the turbans and the veils. Instead of perfume, there will be rottenness." Of course, because we live in Southern California, the rest of the country already knows that we're different, and it shows in the way we dress. SoCal is known for its casual and comfortable approach to dress. But we also live in a culture that is extremely invested in the body. And we also live in a culture where malls remind us of our thirst for material wealth. Put all of this together, and we have much in common with Israel at their economic zenith. But again, this isn't mentioned in the Bible as a passing random historical note, but to show that with a preoccupation in dress and physical appearance often comes less time for God, the signs of false worship, and as said before, a growing indifference to the word of the Lord. What I personally try to remind myself of is that beauty, as we all know, is fleeting. And men are wise to remember that their muscles get smaller over time. Tattoos can really start to look funny after a decade or two have gone by. And the Word of God says, "For God knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it's gone. In its place, remembers it no more." If this doesn't sober you up, nothing else will. Sometimes we think of God's people in the Old Testament, we automatically leap to those images of suffering represented during the time of enslavement to the Egyptians or the time of war during the taking of the Promised Land. Perhaps we jump forward in time to the events of Daniel in the lion's den and the exile of God's people in Babylon. My point is that we forget that there was a time of great prosperity for God's people in Israel. We forget that there was a time when everything that the Lord said would happen in their inhabiting an amazing land overflowing with milk and honey actually came to pass. God kept his promise. And he made them into a great nation that also knew material wealth. You've heard the glory of David. You've heard the greatness and wisdom of Solomon. This was the golden era of God's united kingdom. And even after the division of the kingdoms, as we head towards Isaiah's time, separating the northern kingdom of Israel from the southern kingdom of Judah, there was still staggering remains of great prosperity. And the people dressed like it. And they forgot about God. In the first part of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah rebukes the sin of God's people and he reveals their idolatry. Again, the basic sin problem. They forgot about God and they started loving other things more than they love God. Remember, dear Christians, idolatry isn't some strange sin that only happened a long time ago that no longer applies to us today. We commit idolatry. What is really the worst of all sins, when we love anything above God, which is just another way of putting our will over God's will, right? I've mentioned to you before what Timothy Keller covers in his book, Counterfeit Gods. It's a great book. In our world today, in our American culture, idolatry is committed through people loving success, power, money, and quote, love, unquote, way more than they love God. For example, it's easy to see that many people in our culture are driven by the idol of success. They serve success. They bow down before success. Because success will get them up early in the morning, first thing, and drive them to work to the bone until late at night. Marriages and families are often sacrificed for the god of success. We love success in our country, and it's so prevalent that we'll do just about anything for this god. Idolatry is real, and that's just one of them. Now, what does this have to do with Isaiah chapter 11? Well, it's the basis for talking about stumps. Isaiah 11:1 says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." Stump language is the language of what happens when people lose their heads and start caring more about how they look and their success and their wealth and their bodies more than God. And as soon as they think that they're all of that in a bag of chips, standing tall like a proud, beautiful tree saying, "Look at me, look at me, I am strong, I am sleek, I am beautiful, I am successful." God says, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Stump language is the language when God comes up to the proud, beautiful tree who is now bragging about life without God, and God judges that tree. God takes an axe and chops it down, and then what is left of that proud tree? Answer, a stump. That is what stump language is about. It is about what happens when people forget about God. They are left to be a stump. God chops down, and what is left is desolate and hopeless. Just prior to our text in Isaiah, God revealed his judgment against Assyria, a once proud, powerful nation that did not know the Lord. These are the two verses at Isaiah chapter 10, 33 to 34, leading up to Isaiah 11:1, our text tonight. "Behold, the Lord God of hosts will lop the boughs with terrifying power. The great in height will be hewn down, and the lofty will be brought low. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon will fall by the majestic one." Proud and beautiful, Assyria was chopped down and became a stump. And here's a really scary and humbling part. Get a load of this. Once Assyria became a stump, that was it for Assyria. That nation never made a comeback, ever. Once it became a stump, it was nothing. Game over, kaput. Then Isaiah 11 starts, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." The people of God had once become so proud that they forgot about God, and God judged them. They were reduced to a stump. Remember, the great king of Israel was David, but his dad's name was Jesse. This verse at 11:1 teaches that David's great nation was reduced to a stump. But, and there are some conjunctions you really have to pay attention to in God's word, this stump didn't remain a stump. And this is the gospel for you and me tonight. Sin is devastating. Our sin is devastating. There is no standing up to it. It makes us game over, kaput. It reduces us to stumps without life, without hope. Christians, real people who confess the name of the Lord, have experienced this. The perils of stumps in their lives. Stumps when it comes to career. Stumps when it comes to hope. Stumps when it comes to relationships. Stumps when it comes to health. Sin has reduced us all to stump status. Israel was there, and of course, like us, they deserved it because they had rebelled against God. They'd forgotten about God. Exactly what we do in our despicable sin, though we carry on so much about being faithful believers. We, like them, get all caught up in how to make our bodies look good. These same bodies that are going to turn to dust. We get all concerned about how to put our names in highlights when our generation has passed. Very few, if anyone, will remember our names. And none of us should be surprised that our little success empires that we give everything up for will eventually be taken over by someone else. There's no guarantee that it will remain in your family. Sin turns us to stumps. But again, there really are some conjunctions that we have to learn to pay attention to in Scripture. But this stump was God's stump. This stump was the stump of His people who had received His covenant, that had received His promise of grace. This stump, against all odds, against all appearances, against all properties of stumpness, didn't just stay a stump. This stump all of a sudden had life and a hope and a future come from it. Specifically, the word of Isaiah 11:1 says, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump." This is a fresh green shoot. It is from the Hebrew word that means to shine or to blossom. This shoot, or new green twig of life that shines and blossoms from the dead stump, brings the invasion of new life upon it. Already in the very same verse at 11:1, it isn't enough merely meant to mention the shoot, but this new life even impacts the roots. "And a branch from his roots shall bear fruit." And not merely the roots, but the anticipation of fruit. That is, the entire stump being transformed into a brand new tree. In other words, don't be deceived, Christians. Don't be tricked. Don't be so discouraged that you stop seeing the forest of life that is beyond the tree that has come down recently in your life. You only thought that game was over. You only thought and thought wrong that it was kaput. Not so fast. The shoot from the stump of Jesse was and is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King, the Savior of Israel, and your Savior, Christian. The King of Kings who came through the line of Jesse and David to save his people. When all was lost, when all seemed lost, there is real hope and real life and a real Savior for you, the people of God. And just as Judah was once decimated, but then restored and brought back to life, you who were once decimated by sin are being restored and have already been given eternal life. After being chopped down,
after being judged, after being exiled, after losing everything, the shoot, the new life, the Lord of second chances and third chances and fourth chances, 70 times 7, and of unending grace, lifted Judah up and brought her back, restored, forgiven. After you have been brought low by sin, chopped down, but in having no hope, Christ has covered your sin with his blood and has lifted you up to new life.
Isaiah 11 is therefore also a picture of you and me in Christ. Never give up. Because the Lord Jesus has not given up on you. You know the truth. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Point blank. This promise is not for sight. It is for faith. If you rely on what you see, you will do nothing but doubt. But if you believe, then you will know that God works to bless his stumps. He is in the stump revitalization business, and he is the only one foolish enough to waste his time with such projects. But precisely because he is the resurrection and the life, his investment is no longer a waste of time. There was once a tree chopped down so that a cross could be made from its dead wood. A horrendous cross representing excruciating pain and death. And if there was ever a tree that showed that all hope was gone, then this was it. But on that tree, a shoot appeared. The Savior of the nations, the Savior of you and of me, shed his blood. And that blood was full of the life of God for you. This life has been given to you, Christian. That life and that blood continues to be given to you, Christian, in the Holy Sacrament. This new life is yours. Hope is restored, no matter what this world throws at you. You've been grafted into the shoot called Christ. And the shoot has taken over the roots. And the roots have become a tree. And this tree of life is where you abide. Hope has taken over. And shining blossom is now another way of describing you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen.